We have several speakers this morning who will be delivering their personal messages. Some will be family, some very close friends of Maury. And at this time, I would like to call upon his children, Sandy, Ricka, and Billy Holt.
Since I'm going first, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for coming here today. It means a lot to the family. And I didn't have these in my remarks, but I just wanted to thank Maury also for playing a practical joke on me this morning with his new little puppy woke me up at 5:30 in the morning. So, one other thing, if you didn't get the program today, we'd love for you to pick up a copy on your way out as well. Maury is an important part of Maury. When my dad passed away almost 13 years ago, I remember telling Maury that I really wanted to speak at his funeral and that it was just too hard for me to speak at a funeral. It was too emotional for me. He calmly looked at me and said, "Someday you'll be ready." Mo, you were right. Maury and I knew from the very beginning, when I fell in love with Ricka, that we would always have a special relationship. We talked almost every day, and he loved asking me questions about what I was working on and what problems I was dealing with in life. He loved the real estate business, and I'm so thankful that he encouraged me to get into it. He instinctively knew that I would have a passion for it as well. I always felt so loved by Maury, and I always felt like I was his son, not his son-in-law. Even the last time we talked and cried together in the hospital, he said, "You have always been my son. I have always loved you, and I love you forever." There was never any doubt. He was my second dad. There were so many things about Maury that I loved and cherished. Most important on the list is the love that we both have for Ricka. Even though Maury always treated me like a son, I knew where I stood in regards to Ricka. Maury used to always say, "If I was on the side of a cliff and I was holding you in one hand and Ricka in the other hand, and I could only hold on to one of you, adios, Billy." He probably said that to me over 500 times, and every time we laughed. I knew where I stood, and I loved it. Maury taught me so many things in life, and I've always had so much respect and appreciation for his foresight and wisdom in business and so many other aspects in life. He really was the master at seeing how things could be in the future and letting the process develop in a natural way. True to his wisdom, Maury wrote a beautiful book for his grandchildren entitled Papu. He originally wanted us to give the books to our grandkids after their bar bat mitzvahs. Just hold this up so everybody can see it. After we took our girls to the hospital for their last visit with Papu, Maury asked me to comfort the girls by reading them the first page or two of the book. I read the first and last pages of the book of Papu, and it was a really beautiful experience. I would like to share these pages with you. I never knew my grandparents, so I missed the opportunity to feel their love and hear their thoughts and beliefs about the mysteries of life. I'm sorry I never had the opportunity to call them Grandpa, Papu, or Grandma, Noni. I'm writing this book to my six grandchildren so they can learn about their grandfather and hear from me about the importance of doing the best you can. Since I'm 76 years old, and with the difference in our ages, I don't know how much you will remember me. So I'm taking this opportunity to share my personal beliefs with you. I hope that one day you'll pass them along to your own children and grandchildren. All my love, Papu. So then Maury goes on in the book, on the last page. Where do you go from here? Don't think that life is easy. You will experience many difficulties and hardships in your life. You will also have many, many wonderful experiences, like graduating, meeting your soulmate, getting married, having children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, along with doing well in your job, enjoying your family and friends, contributing to your community, and helping others. It all comes down to two words, responsibility and character. You have the responsibility to learn as much as possible. You don't need to be the top of your class, but try as hard as you can. I believe your early years are the most important years in your life, for they will give you direction for your accomplishments. This is your responsibility to yourself and your parents. Your life is all about your character. The way you treat others, whether it be your family, your friends, or strangers. I guess what I'm trying to say is, be a good person, and God will reward you in his own way. Remember, no matter how old you become, I will always be there. Pop.
I am lucky I knew every day exactly how my dad felt about me. He was never quiet when it came to sharing his feelings. He always told me how much he loved me every time I talked to him. My first year in college, he sent me a letter every day. Some were short and sweet, with just an I love you, while others were poems or love letters. While in Palm Springs, I would get emails almost every day. Only 36 days, 12 hours, and 5 minutes, I get to see you again. Or just a simple, I love you more. And sometimes he was more sentimental with his notes, like this one written on June 23rd, 2008. Dear Ricka, no dad could be more fortunate than me to have a daughter like you. I thank God every day for giving me a daughter like you, and I hope that I will always be there for you. After losing Vicky, you are the reason for me to keep going. To say I love you is not enough. You are my life. Daddy. I am lucky. I am lucky my dad always made it a point to do something special with each of his children. My memories from going to Sonic games, Husky football games, shopping trips, art museums, bike rides, aerobics class in the 80s, and even going to the dump was something that I will always treasure. One of my most treasured times with my dad is when I was young and we had a place in Lummi Island. We would walk up and down the beach looking for weathered glass and unique rocks. My dad always wanted to be handy, so he had a huge workbench put into the garage. I think he only used that workbench twice. Once to give our dog Sybil a haircut, and the second to make a deck out of rocks with me. We found two perfect rocks, well, perfect to us, glued them together, and painted it. My dad kept this rock for years, until we moved houses, and my mom, being tidy, she threw it out. Well, one day, my dad came to me with a new deck. This busy, successful businessman, on his own, went searching for two new perfect rocks, glued and painted them, and wrote a note which said, "Dear Ricka, this is a magic deck. If you ever have a bad day, just hold this deck with both hands and remember the day we made the first deck at Lummi Island, and everything will turn out okay. Love, Daddy. Today I hold this deck in both hands, and I will not let go." I am lucky because I learned the true meaning of generosity firsthand. He worked hard on making our community a better place. He truly believed in Sadaka, charity, and Tacoma Lawn, repair in the world. There is not a charity that came his way he did not give to. He helped rebuild a Sephardic cemetery so people had a comfortable environment to be buried in. and loved ones could remember their relatives in a special place. He was on the board of Make-A-Wish Foundation to give families and children some happiness during their most difficult times, were just to name a few. Besides giving money, he always gave his time so generously to other people. He loved being a mentor, sounding board, and advisor to anyone that wanted his help. However, he was most generous when it came to his daughters. Since we were little, he would take Vicki and I school shopping. It started with Vicki, and then it grew, and then as I grew older, I too was lucky to be given the vision. He would sit in a chair and he would try on clothes. He liked everything on us. He never said no. For a few years, Vicki and I went together with Dad. One time we were at Batiste, Dad sitting in the chair, Janny Jaffe running through the store, and Vicki and I trying everything on. I put on the softest sweater and walked out of the dressing room. I loved it. It was cashmere. Of course, being the frugal one of the family, I looked at the price tag. I said, I can't get this. It's $300. I can still remember Vicki looking at me like I was crazy. She said, Rika, Dad is buying. I'm getting two. And so did I. And my dad never batted an eye at the end of the long, very long receipt. I am lucky. I am lucky because he taught me the important things in life. Honesty, integrity, kindness, lifelong learning. Just last week, I was sitting with my dad, and he said, you know what I learned this, what I just have learned? It's how meaningful it is to have to write a note to people when they are sick. I'm going to start doing that from now on. He never stopped learning and sharing what he learned. And most of all, even until the day before he died, humor. He was cracking jokes and making everyone laugh and feel good. I forgot to write this part, but I'm going to say what I have in my head. I also am lucky because I learned the meaning of a good marriage. He loved my mom more than anything. Always said, you're my best friend. And he would do anything for her as she would do for him. The two of them to watch was pretty amazing. I am lucky. I am lucky because I know he is not alone. His spirit was never the same after losing Vicki. I do know they are together again, and I find much comfort in that. I love you, Daddy, and I thank you for making me one of the luckiest girls in the world. Forever your little girl.
Before I read mine, Dad got a letter from a really good friend of him, his that's out of town and away for a little while, and got a chance to read it to Dad before he passed, and he thought it would be great to share it with everybody here. It says, Dear Morris, I am so grateful for the opportunity to share a few words with you. Although I know it will be difficult to express in words what is best said with a big hug or a squeeze, or your hand, a squeeze of your hand, my words will probably be inadequate, but hopefully they will reflect what the Talmud describes as words that come from the heart, go to the heart. It is a rare blessing in life to have a long-standing relationship with someone that both enriches your life and makes you a better person. You have been that blessing for me, and I'm forever grateful to consider myself a Morris kid. Over many, many years, our love of life and family and friends have been truly inspirational and aspirational. Watching firsthand your never-ending thoughtfulness towards others and positive, fun-loving attitude has been a role model for me. Seeing your love for Marlene, your kids, and your ever-growing extended family has created a benchmark for me and how I hope to lead my life. You have illustrated what real riches are all about. Nothing would give me more pleasure than trying to replicate Club Piha in my home for my kids and their friends. The memories and relationships from those times are absolutely priceless and enduring. Your generosity has always been unparalleled.
but it's the generosity of your heart and spirit that has always touched me the most. It is impossible to properly thank you and Marlene for including me and then my family and your extended family. The last year's celebration and challenges were always better and easier with you and your radiant smile, enthusiasm, and deep love. I am so lucky to have shared so many of these memories, and I'm hopeful there will be a lifetime more to come as our family continues to grow. I can only think of two ways that I might possibly be able to thank you in some small way for all that you have given me and taught me. Of course, please know, I will always be there to do anything I can for your beautiful family because I consider them family. Second, I want to try to emulate the person you are. I would feel unbelievably fulfilled and happy if I could enrich the life of so many others the way you so graciously have over the many years. I pray you derive great joy in knowing that you have and forever will continue to make the world a better place and more loving place for me and for all the Morris kids. I wish I could be there with you to look into your eyes, share these thoughts. More importantly, though, I wish I could be there to tell you that I love you very much and thank you for being a special person in my life. With much love, Jeffrey. Jeff was a really special to Dad, and he really enjoyed getting that. I think it was the day before he died. So now for me and Dad, the second favorite in the family. I've been trying to figure out what Dad would say if he was asked to say how he'd want to be remembered. I found this quote from a famous athlete that everybody knows, and I'm going to share it with you. The athlete's name was Muhammad Ali. I like for them to say he took a few cups of love, he took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, a pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness and happiness. He added lots of faith and stirred it up well. Then he spread it over the span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met. And I truly believe everyone here has had a servant of this recipe from Dad. It's how he lived his life. During my dad's last day, his only concern, and it just, he asked everybody this, that he was a good enough person. You know, he asked the rabbi, he asked his friends, he asked my mom, he asked my sister, he asked myself, this very question. And without hesitation, we all said yes. But Dad, you know, I know you're watching, you're looking over at now with Dickie and watching us, probably having a cup of coffee with Uncle Jerry and one of his famous Parmesan. So enjoy the Parmesan and coffee, and let me put your mind at ease a little bit more. Wikipedia's definition of a good person is, a good person loves unconditionally and does not ask for anything in return. That was Dad. Dad, that definition is you. It should have your picture next to it. Just look around the room and feel the people you touch. I would feel lucky and blessed if I am able to have an impact on half as many people as you have impacted over your lifetime. Yeah, some people collect cars, some wine, some art. You are the only person I have ever known who collects friends. Mm-hmm. Everyone you meet, young and old, has become your friend. I've never met a single person in business or in life that had a bad word to say about you. So please rest easy. I know that everyone in this room knows that you are a good person. Before I say goodbye, I need you to know you have been my mentor, my protector, my confidant, and pal. I will miss the Friday morning breakfasts and long talks. But you need not worry about Mom and Rita. You have trained me well. And I promise to call Mom more often, and I even will call Rick and check up on her every once in a while. You've taught us that there's nothing more important than family. Dad, you have left a big void in my heart. I will miss you and think about you every day. I promise to continue your legacy as a good person in life and business. So please rest easy and enjoy with these company and your service. I look forward to seeing both of you in my dreams real soon. So Vicki, please don't try. Please don't yell at me when you come to visit, because you know Dad hates it when we fight. I love you both and look forward to seeing you soon in my dreams.
The next several speakers, what I'd like to ask you to do is I will call the first speaker up, and I'll give you the list of all the other speakers following that individual, and then the next speaker, just please come up after the previous one completes. So the next series of speakers are Stan Piha, Mick Thatcher, Robin Rosencrantz, Dave Benalil, Dave Azos, Stan Hanley, and Tom Ellison. Stan Piha, please. Integrity. The concept of consistency of action, values, principles, expectations, and outcomes. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness of one's actions. Integrity is often regarded as a virtue. When I think of Michael Morris, this is the word that first comes to mind. Today you will hear many stories of humor Uncle Maury brought to life. I, on the other hand, wish to speak of the person and how integral he was in shaping my life. As a youngster, and before he married Aunt Marlene, Uncle Maury was my dad's younger brother who loved and respected my mom and dad. Since Dad worked every Saturday morning, Uncle Mo was a beautiful brother who, during Husky football season, would drive to our home in South Seattle, pick me up, and then pick up Dad to go to the games together. This wasn't for just one game. This was for the entire season. He was always there when called upon. The one exception was his broken promise to build and install a basketball hoop in our backyard for me. Even though I did not realize it at the time, I'm now pretty certain he was thinking, "Stanley, you're a peanut. Basketball is not going to be your sport." After marriage and beginning their own family, our visits were less frequent and centered mostly on the Jewish holidays. I recall vividly the laughter, humor, teasing, and love that ruminated at our table as our family reconnected on the holidays. It wasn't until my freshman year of Western Washington State College that I reconnected with Uncle Maury. At that time, he was actively entrenched in his real estate career and establishing himself as a major investor who would reinvigorate downtown Bellingham through redevelopment. On one trip where he spent the night, he treated me to dinner and asked me what career path I was interested in most. Being a typical freshman having no idea, he asked if I was interested in real estate. I recall having no clue what real estate was, but took him up on his offer to explore the real estate business as a career and work for him during my summers. He encouraged me to graduate with a degree in accounting, and upon graduation, I became the bookkeeper for Morris Piha Company. For the next 10 years of my life, my existence was intertwined with Uncle Morris. It was then that I learned that not only was he a devoted brother, but a compassionate son. Grandma Vita was a woman of little means, but whatever she had to live on, it was because of Uncle Morris. He would borrow her money and send her a payment each month, including above market. She would spend the interest, and when the loan was paid off, he would borrow it once again. He would send her different colored checks, green, blue, and pink. And when she would call to complain that one of the checks did not arrive in the mail, he would blame the bookkeeper. Even though Dad was sitting on his desk. For the next 10 years, Uncle Maury would shape my future. Beyond bookkeeping, I learned to appraise real estate and then began to venture into sales and investments. One of my fondest memories was to help him sell partnership units in an investment he coined Maury's Mini. Most of his friends teased him that the real Maury's Mini was not a mini storage facility at all, but rested inside his trousers. I had just married and told him one day that I needed to make some money. Did he have any ideas for me? He said, "You know, I'm about 75% sold out of the shares in Maury's Mini, but could use some help finishing." Well, come to find out, he was about 10% sold out. We had 90% to go. But Maury was ever an optimist. In mid-1980, I ventured out on my own. But from my exposure to Maury, I witnessed and learned to emulate a man that values his integrity and reputation above all. He would never sell a property to a client that he did not believe. I saw a man whom clients and customers had great confidence in because of his honesty. I can recall listening to him speak to a group of doctors about a building project. And quite frankly, I didn't understand what he was saying. And I tended to believe that neither did doctors. But his honesty and reputation came through so effectively that everyone in the room was approvingly nodding their head as though they gave him the advice. I learned it wasn't what he said, it was how he came across that made him successful. Don't get me wrong, Uncle Maury was a wonderful real estate agent. He just had a sense for making the deal. He understood risk and had a vision that others could not see. In some cases, he could smell the deal, and he knew how to act. Like me, Morris Peacock touched many others in our industry. Like a bee pollinating flowers, or he touched many young men to consider the real estate industry as a career. Today, there are many successful real estate brokers who are mentored and influenced by Morris Peacock. My Uncle Maury was a good teacher, a hard worker, a loving brother, husband, father, and grandfather. He openly expressed his love to and was loved by his extended family. Morris Peacock was a good man. His relationship with Aunt Marlene, with children and grandchildren, was beyond reproach. But we all know that after the passing of the sister of his daughter, Nikki Lynn, his broken heart never fully mended. Aunt Marlene, Sandy, Ricketts, and Lynn, you have endured enough loss. May God shield you and protect you from anything further that would dampen your life. May you only find happiness, peace, and endless wonder from this point forward. You are a blessing to our family, and we love you with all our being. We are all better off for having had more Peacock in our lives. We'll recall fondly our days spent together for the rest of us. Goodbye, Uncle Maury. We will meet.